morning. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening on January 18th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. We're in the Ann Basker Auditorium. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance like we always do. Gentlemen, remove your hats. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Perfect timing. I want to encourage anyone in the audience with a cell phone to please put it on vibrate or have it in a fashion that won't disturb the meeting here. We're going to go through our agenda as we typically do. We've got a proclamation first, and then we've got the administrative calendar that we'll review fully. Take item number three, which is requesting comments from citizens before coming back to the administrative calendar and taking action on those, and then we'll move into the consent agenda portion of the agenda here today. So, Commissioner Morgan, are you fully ready to go with the proclamation?
I am. It's great. Especially meaningful to me this week, and also just with being a child of a 17-year-old mother who was encouraged to only terminate her pregnancy with me, and that she chose to have life, and therefore I'm here today. So I'm grateful, and so I will read this proclamation.
Great.
In the matter of proclaiming Sunday, January 22nd, 2017, as Sanctity of Human Life and Respect for Life Day. Whereas the founders of our country declared that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and whereas life is to be protected by the government, and whereas if life is not protected, one cannot have liberty or the pursuit of happiness, and whereas life is the future of our world and our nation, and whereas to maintain the respect for life, one can and should demonstrate in many ways from conception to natural death. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Josephine County Board of Commissioners does hereby proclaim Sunday, January 22nd, 2017, Sanctity of Human Life and Respect for Life Day, done and dated this 18th day of January 2017.
Great. Ms. Chaney-Felt and Mr. Raycraft, you want to come forward and receive the proclamation? Then you'll have an opportunity to say a couple words.
Again, thank you, commissioners, for the proclamation. We very much respect and look forward to this time every year when our local county commissioners take the time and make the proclamation to our community. So thank you for that. I do want to say that we will, at our march and rally this Sunday, be presenting the proclamation to those gathered. We generally turn out around 500 people that come to the march, and most of those people stay for the rally. We will have Representative Dwayne Stark and Carl Wilson, and Dennis Richardson has been invited, and Herman Senator Parchiger has been invited. We're not sure if the last two will be attending, But we will be reading the proclamation. If any of you can make it to the rally, which is at 2 o'clock at Riverside Park after the march, and read the proclamation yourself, you are invited cordially to attend. If not, we'll have someone read that proclamation for you. I know that the Commissioner Heck in the past had oftentimes come down. That's my memory. I'm sure other commissioners have in the past as well. So thank you again for the proclamation. I'm not a frequent attender of commissioner meetings and proclamations, although I was here last week for abolish child trafficking and for that proclamation. And this, those two issues are so intertwined in terms of how we view and respect and see as sacred and the whole idea of life and protecting life in this country and also protecting our women and children from the horrors of sex trafficking. So again, I've been felt called to stand up on this issue, and the issue of life is so important, and I just again thank you, commissioners, for the proclamation today.
Thank you.
I just want to add my thanks to, and Steve is the director of Right to Life now, and I'm just the activities director. But I know that we have fought for life for all these years, for 44 years. And we have continued to see the downward play of abortion, but it's still so bad. There's 4,000 babies a day that are killed. And I just wanted to read the January issue from the Center for is it too loud?
You're okay.
Yep. It's the panel's House Select Committee that they've been investigating Planned Parenthood for all of these years, but over a year they've had a comprehensive nationwide investigative work, and the final report, and this was in January 4th, of the House Energy and Commerce Committee Select Investigative Panel definitely shows that Planned Parenthood and associates in their abortion empire are guilty of breaking numerous state and federal laws in their criminal harvesting and sale of aborted baby parts. The report documents admissions under oath by top-level Planned Parenthood leadership that they changed their abortion methods to get higher quality baby parts. That is the third trimester, that they would like to have their babies more formed so that it is easier to sell. That they use this fraudulent and invalid consent forms on vulnerable pregnant women, set their prices for fetal organs and tissue without regard to actual costs, and it doesn't bother me is their motto. That companies like STEM Express make money off of baby body parts harvested at Planned Parenthood. Emails obtained by the panel even show that the National Abortion Federation sought to obtain kickback payments for each successful body parts harvesting at a member clinic. Law enforcement at all levels must now prosecute Planned Parenthood's criminal business and the full extent of the law, and the American taxpayers should no longer be forced to subsidize this barbarism and abortion industry. So that is what is happening. And I know that there's all kinds of investigative and laws. In fact, if you go to human capital for the Center for Medical Progress, it's easy, Center for Medical Progress, .org, and you'll see all of the investigative reports that are there on it. So that is so good. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that. And thank you again for everything and clearing the Sundays, and which is the anniversary date of Roe v. Wade. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So to reiterate, there's an opportunity for people to participate in a rally that's taking place this Sunday at Riverside Park. And prior to that, I believe there's a march that takes place and probably starts at the courthouse. And it proceeds down 6th Street at 1:30. So. Okay. Great. So the city and provides an escort down 6th Street, Sunday at 1:30. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll be moving on with our agenda to item number 2A, which is the approval of order number 2017-002 in the matter of delegation of authority to the Josephine County Tax Collector to issue a tax refund on real and personal property in the amount of $30,000 or less. This is found on page 3. Historically, the policy established by this body, as the governing body, has the authority to return those tax dollars that were either over-collected or overpaid, goes back to 1995. Taxes have changed in their values and such, and the amount that we were seeing just recently in overpaid taxes was going over that $10,000 previous threshold. More regularly than we had expected, and so we've made the adjustment to $30,000, and notification of the board will still continue to happen. We'll do that in our quarterly reports, and the liaison from the board will be notified on a regular basis of those tax returns, and so the board is entertaining the opportunity to change that policy today. Any questions or comments? We'll move on to item number 2B, which is approval of intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Justice for fiber optic cable to be installed between Justice Building and the Ambassador. So we're in the Ambassador, and the Justice Building is right next door, catty corner to the courthouse. Historically, courts has, just about a year and a half ago, gone to an e-court system, and that requires a lot more interconnectivity to their computer system, which they don't have in this building right now. County has chosen not to upgrade to fiber optics because we really don't use that much in this building for computer activity, but the courts has found it necessary, and so they're providing the necessary grant funds in order to facilitate that, and so this is an intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Justice to facilitate that improvement to the Ambassador. For their use, will be provided access to those fiber optic lines as well. So.
This is in reference to their jury. The juries meet here on Tuesday, I think it
Tuesday.
Is.
Tuesday,
jury orientation.
And that's the connection. They don't have a connection between here and the actual court system between the jury selection process. And so I think it's something that needs to happen, and it sounds like the courts are going to pay for it.
Yeah, it's a neat improvement.
Upgrade to county facilities.
Much needed. Item number 2C is approval of Land and Water Conservation Fund state local government, local agreement for Lake Selmec Restrooms and Bridge. And we have Ms. Wright from our Parks Department to present this one. Good morning.
Morning, Commissioners. How are you?
Great.
Good. So you're correct. We have the agreement to sign. It is federal grant with the Land and Water Conservation Fund. We applied for this grant almost a year ago at this time. What the grant proposes is that we will be removing 6 wooden vault toilets in various places around Lake Selmec and replacing them with 4 double stall concrete ADA vault toilets. And then we're also going to be rebuilding the footbridge that has been deteriorated and is unusable at this time. The total project is an estimated $151,000, and the grant is exactly 50% of that cost.
We're going to try to get that completed before?
The deadline that was given to the federal grant has to be completed by June 2017.
Okay.
And we're certainly on track to do that. We're hoping to do the footbridge almost immediately within the next 3 months while we can keep the water levels low so that we're not working in the water, and then followed by all the toilets.
That sounds great. Any questions? Go on to item number D, which is approval of Schroeder Park Service and annexation agreement with the City of Grants Pass.
Yes, so Schroeder Park is our closest one to the city. back in, I believe, about June 2016, we had the leach field fail during peak season, and so literally the sewer started backing up through the ground, and we had to shut down 11 RV sites during that time. So 11 of them at this time are not able to hook up to sewer. In contact with DEQ, we are no longer allowed to replace the leach field. We have to tie into city sewer because of the proximity to city limits. The rest of the park currently is on city sewer, and so this is just the last 11 sites that will effectively pull the whole park into the system. So this...
Does it provide for a potential upgrade or expansion of the RV spots in shorter in the future? Because you're putting in a larger pipe system.
With the larger pipe, it certainly could mean that we could extend and continue to do more RV sites. Right now, the whole back portion of the park is tent only, and so the whole front portion, which is actually open year-round at this point, that is all full hookup sites. Looking at data, we had about 3,400 camping nights in Schroeder last year, which puts it third ranked in our system.
Wow. I drove through there when I think the camp post was relocating this weekend, and it's kind of funny, as the liaison to parks, I always try to take an opportunity when I'm out and about to just pop in and see what's going on. There's always usually something interesting. And this happened to be a very large RV had driven on from nice people, but they're from Florida, and I guess you can drive on the grass in Florida most times of the year, and you can't do that in Oregon. And they've discovered that quite, that lesson was learned. So
there was a specific path for them to drive, and they went a little bit off. I talked to my rangers about making sure they're there in the future when they
drive
on grass.
I don't think
they're
going to make that mistake again. It looked pretty arduous to try to get that RV out. But is a really incredible park. And maybe even underutilized from the standpoint that there could be more RV parks opportunities down there where the tent area is. But that's an expansion we could do in the future.
Reclaiming the leach field someday, too.
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of opportunities that come with this. Ms. Wright, can you talk about how we're providing for the funding to balance out the grants, make up the difference?
For Schroeder specifically?
Mm-hmm. Well, both.
For both?
For both.
Okay, so for Lake Samak, it's $151,000 estimated cost. $75,500 of that comes from the Land Water Conservation Grant. $5,000 of that was secured through the Four Way Foundation with a grant in partnership with the Parks Foundation that we have. Previously approved by this board, which I understand we're going to talk about and look at other options, there was $50,000 in economic development funds. And then the remaining funds in the amount of $20,500 was to come out of the parks budget.
And the parks budget has a reserve made up of property sales that the county's facilitated just recently in the last year or so that's provided some match money for grants just like this, and it should be really positive for moving forward and not be the Parks Department doesn't receive any general fund dollars, and that's probably the thing that resonates the most with people. A lot of people think, well, I'm paying taxes, it's going to the park system, and I should have free unabridged access or what have you, and it's actually different in Josephine County in a number of different programs and departments, and parks is one of those.
Yeah, and Lake Salmac's greatly underutilized, in my opinion. It's mainly because of the deteriorating facilities and that most people choose to use our newer facilities. For instance, Lake Indian Mary has over 7,100 camping nights. Lake Salmac has more camping spots than Indian Mary, but only falls at about 3,500 per year. So I believe as we continue to update facilities that it'll more than pay for itself and be a great location again.
Excellent. Okay.
Any questions about Lake Salmac before I move on to the Schroeder balancing the funds?
On the annexation with the city of Grants Pass, didn't you say it in your report that there were a certain amount of those that the septic system failed on, so you had to lower fees out there on some of those spots? Mm. And
so
this would bring them back to where you could hook up. You weren't able to have hookups available in those spots because the septic system had failed or whatever?
Correct. So when you drive into Schroeder Park, all along your right-hand side, there are 11 RV sites. 10 of those are available to the public. The 11th connection we're making is actually for the host site itself, so they currently don't have hookup to sewer. So although the sites could still certainly be used, the sewer couldn't be used. So we certainly had the water available, the electric available, but no sewer hookups for those 11 sites. So in doing that, instead of the full $30 per night, we of course discounted those to $25 per night. And that has been since June and is still in effect today.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
We're paying for the Schroeder
Schroeder. Yeah, it's kind of been this unknown cost as it develops, and we're finding out more information. But at this time, we've paid just under $4,000 for engineering costs for the project, and that came from the property reserve fund so far. There's about $31,000 in SDC funds, and that is for permissions to hook into the city sewer line. Those funds were applied to through the Solid Waste Agency, and they had granted us to be reimbursed for that cost, so that one itself is covered. So essentially, this time we have remaining the permitting process and the construction itself. We had a variety of bids come in, which were a little higher than expected. We're looking at about right now $72,000 that was proposed for the construction. Certainly more than we're willing to pay and able to pay as a Parks Department. So we're back to negotiating. We actually will have an appointment coming up with the company chosen to work with, where we will talk about how we can reduce costs. One of the proposals may be to leave this current sewer line in place and simply add the new sewer line that's going to the street without digging up the old one. Mainly they're concerned about the alignment of the sewer line and how many other utilities that runs into. So they are proposing to hand dig until they expose the sewer line and then be able to come in with the big equipment and open up further. They're afraid of hitting electrical, irrigation, all those other things. So as part of our negotiation, it might be that our crew actually opens that lines and exposes it, and then they are to grade it, replace the line, and close it back up. That should drastically reduce costs. So we'll know more here in about 2 weeks.
Great. Well, yeah, go forth and figure this out. Sounds really good.
Well, and I appreciate that you're not just accepting that they said this is the cost, that you're pursuing to lower the cost to get the most efficient, effective, affordable for our limited money. So thank you.
Absolutely. We have a lot of other places we can spend the money, so no point spending it all in
definitely.
One place.
Ms. Wright's been pretty creative in her first year as park manager. Done a lot of deferred maintenance, catching up with that kind of stuff has been a priority, and I think it's going really, really well. So keep it up, and we'll move these forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item number 2E is approval and report and recommendation for the disposal of property pursuant to Ordinance 2014-003. This has to do with our evidence, and I believe Commissioner Dion?
Yes. What we're looking to do is there's, an ordinance before us to dispose of properties that we've accumulated, and they came to the board and wanted to know if that was recommended for us. And I'll get to page 60 here real quick, like, on my deal here. And what it amounts to is that I'm probably going to return this back to the chair on this because I didn't quite really fully understand it.
So, yeah, I think that? It's team effort in the first couple of weeks. Don't feel obligated.
Oh, yeah.
A menagerie of things that we deal with, so feel free.
Yes.
Mr. Morgan, if you probably know a little bit more intimately about this
I've
system.
Seen it.
Cursory yes. Review, that's all.
So we have collected evidence through various criminal investigations, and after the criminal investigations were concluded in the courts, they're now free to be returned to their proper owners. Our evidence deputy has exhausted all attempts to contact all the owners. There was caseloads, containers of items stolen, and it's all been inventoried. Any way of possibly trying to identify through other agencies and through contact with owners has been attempted, and they've passed the time at this point that they can attempt any further, and so this is a request to allow it to go to auction. And so then the monies then do not go back to the sheriff's office themselves. They're not gaining from this. They just have done their due diligence, and they've exhausted all their options at this point. And so then it'll go to auction, and that's where we're at.
Various means of disposing it. We approved last year of an online opportunity to dispose of those things, which is pretty efficient for the staff. We have one evidence person over at the sheriff's office who facilitates all of this categorizing and keeping and housing and organizing and then putting everything ready to be disposed of. So it's a pretty big job, and we're going to be moving these forward. I think she's trying to clean house over there on a number of different things that have been this process kind of languishing, and so she's got a lot in the inventory, and so we'll be moving those forward. So we're going to move on to the opportunity for citizens to come forward and request and comments from citizens. Item number 3 on the agenda. Please state your name and be clear about that. If you have a challenging last name, I'm sure appreciate it if you'd spell it out for us, or at least for the staff here. And you'll be given 3 minutes. You can talk on any subject you like. And Ms. Casanelli, you can go first.
Sandy Casanelli, Merlin, Oregon. I'm here to, well, first I'd like to congratulate Commissioners Morgan and DeYoung. I hope you find county government fulfilling. I am here today to talk about the code enforcement aspect of the text amendment for the marijuana issue. I don't in any way condone marijuana use. But this is a private property issue that every citizen, every property owner in Josephine County should be aware of. Originally, this was a flawed document that was presented, and it cited an ORS which states that in order to implement this, it had to be done by ordinance, not just by a stroke of a pen with a text amendment. This is especially egregious to the public, seeing how this concept was voted down in November of 2013 by approximately 80% of the vote. It's sort of similar to having a roadway posted 35 miles per hour, and then you give citing authority to the police to cite people at 20 miles per hour, and the officers say, well, we're going to fix that later on. We're going to cite you for a law that isn't in effect yet. So the proper procedure is ordinance first, which gives the public the opportunity to challenge that ordinance by referendum. And that's the process, and that's what I would request of this board to do if you're going to implement this. The Rural Planning Commission did recommend that code enforcement piece of the text amendment be pulled out of that text and voted on separately. They also, except for one member, voted as no recommendation to the Board of Commissioners regarding this text amendment. So they were not on board with it. I want to tell everybody that the hearing, I understand, for this has been changed from Monday the 23rd to Monday the 30th in the 9 o'clock at the Ambassador. And I have a real problem with this because the public cannot go to like the county full board calendar and find out when these hearings and meetings are. We used to do that in the past, but no longer. We were only given the opportunity to see meetings the current week or the week coming up.
You covered a lot of subjects, Ms. Casanelli.
Well, that's what I'd like to say. We need
I do have a question. Can you clarify what's available to the public on our calendar and be specific? That's the issue I'm asking because mm-hmm. I want to help facilitate, you know,
right.
Everybody getting an opportunity, and I apologize for having to move the date.
Yeah, well, you know what? These public hearings.
1 week at a time is what's available, or is
yes.
it the full month of January? Or
no, just one week at a time. You know, on Thursday, you
right.
determined what's
yep.
going to happen the following week. So we get that following week, but we don't get anything beyond that.
Okay.
And we don't get the Rural Planning Commission meetings. You really should send those out in a public information blitz to the media and interested persons.
We'll,
thank
we'll
you.
We'll work on that. Thank you. There's a couple other things, but we'll wait until the end to talk about that. Anyone else want to address Mr. Ford?
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. As far as your auction with the Sheriff's Department, I understand that doing it online is a lot more efficient, but when you did it in an open setting, it was a lot more fun. I think the last one I went to took about 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
Out in Merlin area. But it was a lot of fun. It was really Most important thing is King Obama managed to stab Pacific Northwest in the eyeball one more time on his way out the door, and that
Ms. Cassinelli, pardon me, Mr. Ford, if you wouldn't mind taking your conversation out into the foyer.
With the expansion of the wilderness area and the withdrawal of the mining on the Calliopsis, just another one of those things that it seems like the Democrats are really happy to do. I think it's time that we go to our elected officials, the Republicans. I don't think the Democrats are going to do anything. And maybe we can get these changed. You know, Donald Trump says he's going to repeal a lot of the things that Obama did. Maybe this could be added to that list, because they're certainly not in the best interest of our community, Southern Oregon, Northern California. It is a detriment, and anything we can do from our end to help facilitate that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Hart.
Hello, Bob Hart, 5126 West Evans Creek. I'm a land use consultant, been practicing here in Josephine County for over 20 years. Before that, I was a county planner for Josephine County, and so I'm very familiar with the planning system here. The comments from Ms. Cassinelli, I was at the hearing with the Planning Commission and heard their recommendation to split the marijuana issues apart from code enforcement and have it as two separate issues. And I think the board would serve the public well because of the interest that the public has shown in the past, especially regarding code enforcement. We do need it, but it needs to be done in a very rational and calm manner. One other topic that I have a comment on. New fees went into effect this year. The Planning Department has eliminated their fee for pre-application, saying that providing information is not something that should be charged for, because when a full application comes in, there will be fees to cover staff time. But the Public Works Department has not only not eliminated their fee on pre-app, but it was raised in those fee changes. So it just seems strange to come in and file for a pre-application with the Planning Department for them to review an application and have to pay a public works fee for a pre-application. I ask that you would look into that to try and see if we can make that consistent. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah,
those.
No, we'll work on that. We did set up a meeting prior to the fee changes with all of the departments that kind of have to do with land use and development. Mm-hmm. And that that wasn't raised at the meeting that we had, and it's a moving target. We'll definitely improve.
Yeah, like the elimination of the fee for the pre-apps, that was kind of a late thing.
Yeah.
And part of that whole issue is we had a committee a few years ago trying to change or recommend to the board where the county was in excess of state requirements and try and bring it down to not exceed state requirements. And that pre-app was one of those issues. But there's a lot of things in that whole package that have never come to a full public hearing, and I'd ask that you look into those. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board real quick. Mr. Hart, I'll just say that there were four LDAC recommendations that I remember, and I don't remember all of them, but there was Deer Winter Range and figuring that out. We're working with DSL, Department of State Lands, ODF&W, and actually Jackson County, because they have a proposed, they have a plan that I think works a little bit better than ours does. It may not be perfect, but we're going to work on taking something that's out there and maybe applying it to our code here that improves the situation, because right now what we have doesn't really work. There's also road access elements that we needed to address. Those seem to be rather challenging the way I remember them from 4 or 5 years ago, and that could be why they're on the books the way they are. Moving something, it is not easy. And there's always people who want to weigh in and have good arguments on that. Mr. Ford, I wanted to update everyone that the ONC meeting is going to take place Thursday night and Friday up in Roseburg, and that'll be an issue that we discuss, is the expansion of the Siskiyou Crest National Monument by 45 to 50,000 acres or such. It takes in a considerable amount of ONC lands. When you see legislation that's appropriating ONC-designated matrix or timberlands, and in the past, there's been a no-net loss component to that legislation that provides for the inclusion of public domain lands from other areas that are like the lands that are going to be divested from the ONC portfolio, either to the tribes. That's how it's historically happened. There's that no-net loss component in the legislation. An executive declaration doesn't have that legislative provision, and so it's just a loss to the ONC portfolio that really isn't appropriate based on the 1937 Act and the intent of Congress going back to 1908, 1916. So we'll be working on that element as well. And so, Ms. Castanelli, I understand that we will probably facilitate this text amendment process as an ordinance that will obviously be referable to the voters, like any other ordinance the Josephine County Board of Commissioners may or may not take up. And as I understand it, we're going to be able to explore the whole portfolio of options on the 30th, and divesting those two issues, if they are not linked in a sense that can't be separated, it will definitely be an option for the board moving forward. I think that we're trying to address the Rural Planning Commission and the Director of the Community Development is trying to address the issues of this marijuana industry that's come and been presented to us in a different fashion than we've had it here before. And so the land use, you know, challenges between owners is certainly coming to the forefront. I know we're hearing it, the planning office is hearing it, and other parts of the community are definitely feeling it. So trying to navigate what we can do within the code is certainly what's in front of us. And as we didn't get a specific recommendation from the Rural Planning Commission, I believe everything is on the table for us to move forward in that. Moving the date was something that was unforeseen, and I really apologize to the members of the community that were, you know, planning on being here on Monday the 23rd. Unfortunately, there were more than just one of us on the board, two of us that had conflicts with that day that came up after that date had already been set. So we'll have to just work on better coordination of those meetings and in the future. But that happens as we're just human. So any other comments?
No, I think the hardest thing is, because it is going to be a land use hearing, because it is kind of the ordinance and all that, there's not a lot of, we haven't had a discussion in our general meetings or our admin meetings about what this board would like to see with this. It's all started before we were in office, and there's a lot of opinions and different thoughts about it, and I'm looking forward to having an opportunity to make sure that we are going the best route possible.
Yep.
And anyhow, so it's just one of those things that, because of the nature of the hearing, we haven't had discussions prior. So once we get there, then we can get into it and roll up our sleeves and dissect it if we need.
Yeah, and the you know, the transition and majority of the board, that's been really challenging. This vote was put in motion by a previous board, given pretty vague direction to our community development director to go forth and try to figure something out as best she can. And you know, it's starting with something, and it may not be perfect, but our job is to listen to constituents and figure out what we can do to make it better. So nothing further, we'll move forward with the action on the administrative calendar, which is item 2A, approval of order number 2017-002, and the matter of delegation of authority to the Josephine County Tax Collector to issue a tax refund on real and personal property in the amount of $30,000 or less.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. Item number 2B is approval of intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Justice for fiber optic cable to be installed between Justice Building and the Ann Basker Auditorium.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
You didn't, yeah.
Further discussion?
No.
Seeing none, let's call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. Item number 2C is approval of Land and Water Conservation Fund state-local agreement for Lake Selmec restrooms and bridge.
I would move that we approve this item.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. Item number 2D is approval of Schroeder Park Service and Annexation Agreement with the City of Grants Pass.
Move the administration act to be approved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I hope that our parks get to deal with more than just sewer in the future.
We will. We've got a lot of stuff, but this is probably top on the list for a lot of people to get moving. No pun intended. Please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Item number 2E is approval of report and recommendation for disposal of property pursuant to ordinance number 2014-003. So just to clarify, we're not actually passing that ordinance. It's just an action under the guidance of that ordinance.
And I would move that we approve this action item.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Want to thank Officer Lee, Deputy Lee, for all of her work on this. It seems like a simple task, what we do, but it's pretty monumental what she has to work through. So please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. Item number 4 is approval of the consent calendar, made up of various minutes of dates of the Board of Commissioners convening. And then item B is the Josephine County Housing and Community. It's a reappointment to that council, and I usually have this all worked out ahead of time, but I do not. Almost there. So apologize for that. It's Donna Jean Wendell, city representative. It's a reappointment for a 4-year term to expire in 01-18-21. So I will take a motion to approve the consent calendar item 4A and B.
Make a motion to approve the consent calendar agenda items 4A and 4B.
Second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? I want to thank Ms. Wendell for her service on that committee. Let's call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. With the board's indulgence, we didn't schedule a general discussion this week. Unfortunately, due to a schedule of Commissioner Morgan and Commissioner DeYoung, they're attending County College this Thursday and Friday, and maybe Saturday. I'm not 100% sure on that. But we don't have an opportunity to really discuss some issues that have not been addressed before next week. And so given this is the only opportunity, with the board's indulgence, what I'm going to do is recommend that the board not finish with this agenda, that we will continue this meeting at our general discussion conference room over in the county's offices. We'll be putting notices on both of the doors that this meeting is still going on. We're just going to convene over at the offices of the Board of Commissioners. So if there's any matters or other that you wanted to discuss here, do that. Otherwise, we'll just continue it.
I would move we continue the meeting to 10 o'clock in the conference room, the courthouse.
Sounds great. Okay. I'm not sure if we really need a motion, but I'm happy to do one. Dan, do you second that?
I second that, yes.
So moved and seconded. That's great. Please call the roll.
Yes.
I want to say no just to be a brat, but no, I say yes.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. So that was provided under 5, under ORS 182.640, and that provides us the opportunity to continue this meeting if we see fit. I'll run through. I've got a couple of issues that I can just tell the general public while we're on the schedule. We've been invited to participate in a State of the County address taking place, I think, next Friday. And so given an opportunity to kind of set out the agenda, how much time we need and where we would like to be placed on the agenda is something I'll be bringing before the board. Scheduling that land use hearing, whether Monday makes the best sense for us to do that in the future, We need to schedule another goal-setting session with revisiting the element of the department's and program's goals. There's advisory committee appointments that we need to review. There's the public works review that we need to kind of solidify and get a direction on. There's the state of Jefferson. We were presented with that issue yesterday at a meeting, or was it yesterday or the day? Yeah, it was only yesterday. Short week, but busy. And we need to figure out next steps on that. So those are just a few of the items that we'll be addressing over at our meeting. Nothing monumental quite yet, but if there is a decision on any one of those elements, it will come back to the weekly business session for approval at this venue. Unfortunately, due to the fact that we don't have a quorum, we won't have an administrative meeting as we typically do in our conference room at 9 a.m. tomorrow. And so we'll be having to facilitate figuring out how to move those items forward to the next weekly business session. So stay tuned if you wish to. You can join us at 10 o'clock over in our conference room. With nothing further, we're in recess.